people and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Shift and Steer. I'm Brad Fanshaw, and right across from me at the Waba Grill is Motorator Matt DeAndrea. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. And you know, if you hear a little background noise or something like that, just like the last episode, we are coming to you from a remote location. We actually were out at the Moon Eyes Hot Rod Xmas Show today.
Down in at Irwindale Speedway, which they've been threatening to close the place for years, it seems like, 4 or 5 years, but it sounds like it's actually going to happen. They're going to close it. So I guess this is the last Moon Eyes show that's going to be at Irwindale.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be the last Moon Eyes show ever. I think they want to do something else, but this is the last one in Irwindale. And
correct.
If they find
yeah,
a location, then
they want to find a new place. It's just that with Irwindale closing down, when they build the condos and like that, I don't think they'll let them park all the cars and have the music and everything like that in between the condos.
I'll tell you, this event was pretty big, bigger than they expected.
We refer to it in the business as fucking nuts.
It was nuts.
I got here this morning, Matt, at 10:15. And what time did we finally walk in the gate? 11:30?
Oh, 11:30.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's with us parking a mile and a half away.
Exactly, and walking.
Because all the parking was shut down.
And it was off the wall. There were cars a mile long waiting to get off the freeway and a mile long waiting to get in to the venue. And once you got in, it was standing room only. And there were so many cars, so many people, drag cars, hot rods. It was a whole bunch of stuff going on there. And, you know, this show's been going on, and it's always been a really cool show.
Yeah.
But I think everybody heard it was the last one, Matt. And everybody wanted to be there, you know, because I think it actually might be the last time there is ever racing at Irwindale also. So it's kind of like, I saw the cars. I was there. Because everybody nowadays, they want to say, I was at the last OCIR or the last Riverside Raceway. Unfortunately, it's becoming a trend in Southern California. Tracks close.
Yeah. There were some cool drag cars out here this weekend, though. Some of the cool
gassers. And
they
all have cool names.
They all have cool names, right? They're with, like, hand-painted and the gold leaf and all kinds of cool paint treatments for some of these names. And then the Galpin gasser was here. I know Galpin built that a few years ago. And
The guy that used to work there.
His name is Steve.
Yeah, Steve built that, and then he sold it, and now he's got a black one, which is even cooler.
Yeah.
He's a gasser. He's a gasser guy.
I think I went for a ride in that orange one. That orange one that's here, when he built that, I went down to gas, and we went from, like, one lot to another. I was like, you know, like, I dropped off a car for service, and then I walked over to gas, and then afterward, he's like, let's take the car over, and we took the gasser down the street.
That was, like, his golf cart?
I think it was that car. Yeah, it was, like, his golf cart. It was a pretty crazy event here. Now, you definitely have to be in the low riders.
Yeah, there's a lot of low riders.
If you're going to spend time at
a lot of
the Moon
sleds
Eye show.
And a lot of rat rods, a lot of real lowbrow cars. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, how you classify them as lowbrow cars, which I dig sometimes. I mean, it's really cool because you can take like a 64 Impala, put some, you know, wheels and tires on it, and have fun with it. And then the people dressed the part. There were a lot of girls in, you know, with that Betty Page look going on and stuff like that.
Lots of modeling and posing in cars.
Yes.
And things like that. So the lowrider thing is interesting. It's not really my style.
It's a culture.
But I can certainly appreciate the amount of time and work has gone into some of those cars. I mean, one, there's the typical lowrider, I guess typical, maybe more vintage or, you know, classic, that type of typical, with the crazy paint. Just layers and layers of fleck, like,
well, it's
crazy.
Heavy metal flake and layers and lace and, you know, all kinds of real intricate paint and a lot of engraving on those cars.
Yeah, there's a lot of that as well. But those layers and layers of paint, so much time into that. And there's a bunch out here that, you know, they're just, the cars aren't that special. but underneath the car you can see where they put the time into all of the all of the gear for that stuff, and the wheels and the suspension modifications, and
there's some that are
some dude had his all parked way up sideways.
Matt was standing there
up in the air,
taking a picture of this black 66 Impala, and the guy had hydraulics on it, and he wanted to park it with one front wheel off the, and Matt's like, is he going to leave it that way? I go, I guess so. You know,
just,
I mean,
it just feels like, I don't know, I see that, I feel like
somebody's little kid's going to run under it.
No, no, it's like, you know, like you're working on a car and somebody goes, hold this flashlight for me. And literally like 30 seconds into it, you're like, I can't hold this goddamn thing anymore.
Yeah.
Like, how could the car hold that position for so long?
It's going to cramp
up.
Better not have a leak in those hydraulics.
It's going to cramp up.
But I was just thinking, like, all those little kids out there running around. So, you know, somebody turned around and their kid's standing underneath it looking at the motor or something. You're just like, yo, you know.
Yeah, it looks like, because it's kind of like rocking back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, like a little kid, like, goes under and make it look like he's lifting the car, like, for a
and
photo.
And the guy kind of, like, he gave a stink eye when we went over and pressed on it to make the other end go up. And you got, like, on one fender, I got on the other, like a teeter-totter. I mean, he was like, dude. And we're like, what? You know, we're doing a show
a
here, man. We're doing a show.
So some pretty interesting stuff at the show. It's going to be sad for them if they can't find another location. So hopefully they will continue to do this thing. Like I said, it's a ton of people.
Will the Moon Eyes then be Crying Eyes?
Yeah. The part that I didn't get was, like, we were walking up and down the pit lane area where some of these old gassers and drag cars were lining up, and everyone's drinking a beer, so I'm not sure.
It's a laid-back atmosphere.
It's
you know?
A pretty laid-back atmosphere. I mean, I know it's not legal to drink and drive, but drink and drag?
I
don't know the rules on that.
Speaking of drag, I completely forgot to drag you back to the dude with the 50 pickup truck. You were taking a picture or something, and I watched this guy who was showing his buddy, and I was like, no way. The guy had a tap, like, on the dash.
Oh, yeah.
He had, like, a beer tap on the dash, and he goes, yeah, he put his cup under it and poured himself a beer.
Oh,
and
no.
The guy's going, and then he lifted the seat, and there was, like, a little pony keg under the seat.
Oh, I like that.
I was like going, there you go.
Yeah. That's the best feature. I guess technically it's not an open container.
Right, because it's under pressure, and it's, you know. But
do you think it was cold?
I don't know. It looked cold, but I don't know how cold it would be under that seat. But
some sort of kegerator.
Maybe he had like dry ice or something under.
Now I feel like Dave Merrick should be here.
Exactly. David B. Let's do a whole feature on that truck.
Yeah. He would have been still in there drinking with the guy, having a conversation about how he did it.
But
and then he would go to the art center and teach a class about mobile kegerators.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Hey, we've got to start installing this on all of the new cars.
Yeah, first on my desk.
Screw
then,
these electronics. We need kegerators.
Yeah. So an interesting show. I wonder what they're going to go next. You were saying that, like, Pomona's kind of too big. Like, the fairgrounds are kind of too big for this show. This was a big show, but
yeah, it needs an in-between. And, I mean, but you know what? It'd be, like, perfect size for, like, the Orange County Fairgrounds.
Okay.
But the Orange County Fairgrounds probably never let that crowd in. They'd go, no, this is Orange County, man. We don't want you guys down here.
Yeah. There's a lot of tattoos and black T-shirts.
And bikers and, you know, guys that work at the docks and stuff. And, you know, those Orange County guys, they don't want anything in there, you know? I mean, it's like they don't even want rock bands in there anymore. You
I know. They kicked Bear Jackson out of there.
I know. It's like Bear Jackson was too hardcore.
Yeah, Bear Jackson's too hardcore for those guys. Pretty interesting stuff. So also walking around, there's at these shows, there's always like a good showing of Volkswagen vans.
Yeah, and bugs.
Right?
A lot of bugs,
yeah.
Too.
One guy was getting ready to race his, but there's always a good showing of the vans. And funky with like barbecues attached to them and all kinds of wacky
stuff.
Well,
we saw one with canvas top on it. Saw another one. One that I dug was it looked like it had been in the backyard of somebody's shop or something for years because it was kind of rusty. I mean, literally, when I say rusty, rusted through rusty.
Yeah.
But on the side of the panel van, the VW panel van was the lettering about some old speed shop or something. At one time, it was, and this wasn't the kind that like Aaron does, where it's, you know, kind of made up and faux. This was like, you could tell it was real, and it was probably the old parts runner back in the 60s and 70s that some shop had, and that kind of stuff's kind of cool. And then you saw the one with the Fuchs Porsche wheels on
it. I saw that. I think I got a picture of that somewhere. We'll post some pictures up on.
Oh, we got a ton of pictures to
up
post
on our Facebook page as well. There's a nice showing of a few Mustangs. One very cool dark blue drag Mustang. Surprisingly, no Fox bodies. Not one.
I didn't see one. Can you believe that?
Super surprised about that.
There was that cool slam Mercedes. That 60s era Mercedes. That thing was badass. This thing was on the ground.
It was
right-hand drive, which was very cool.
What year do you think that was?
It was cherry. That's probably about a 65, 66 sedan.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Then there was the Snap-on van that we couldn't get a picture of because it was buried. And that was like an old bread truck-looking van that, you know, a step-up walk-in van that was all painted up to look like a Snap-on delivery truck. That thing was way cool, but they had it buried behind a booth, and you couldn't really get a picture of it.
The other thing you notice at shows like these, which is kind of fun, is lots of kid carts. You know, like
kit cars,
kid carts.
There weren't any kit cars there. There's no Bradley GTs or any Shelbys.
There's a whole bunch of like kids sitting
in bitchin'
little
pedal cars.
Yeah. Or like wagons, like dad's dragging them around, and the wagon looks like a little hot rod or a little coupe.
Or a low rider, in this case.
Or a little roadster, and it's a pretty cool stuff. Some of those, I don't know if you just buy all those or you make them. Some of them have real quality craftsmanship in them. And everything's got good pinstriping. There's guys there doing a lot of pinstriping. Not like Syracuse, New York at that show where like the pinstripers from all around the world show up. But there was dudes pinstriping.
Yeah, they were pinstriping cars as they sat there. I remember one kid went by and Matt went, "Brad, why don't we get one of those and you can pull me around next year?"
That's right.
"Well, I would, but there's not a next year planned yet. But that kid had like a little red wagon, had trick wheels on it, and then they had taken an old army gas can and they had welded it to the back of the wagon, like so the kid could lean against it like a chair. And then I don't know if you noticed, but they had cut the top of it off and hinged it. And my guess is it was packed with ice and beer inside.
Well, of course.
So then when the kid laid back, it was cool. Okay. That's the only reason they did that, because they wanted to have
beer. He's got Hawaiian Punch on tap.
He has a tap for Hawaiian Punch. Man.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
A puncherator.
So I got to think about like what's coming up next. I know we're going to go into the holidays pretty soon. And,
ho, ho, ho.
Are you sticking around? Are you sticking around in town?
I am going to Omaha, the Big O.
It's so weird that you're from Omaha.
That's only one of my places.
Warren Buffett and steaks. Right?
I'm actually from Scottsdale and Omaha.
That's right.
Yeah.
Scottsdale makes more sense.
But we alternate. One year it's Arizona, one year it's Omaha. So this year is the Omaha, and I've already got it planned. Andy Leach, who is a phenomenal builder, used to work for Troy Chapanier, moved back to Omaha because that's where he's from. And I called him the other day, and I said, "Hey, Andy, what do you got in your shop?" And he rattled off more cars. I can't believe it. He had like 16, I mean, very
super. Yeah, because in Omaha, you can get square footage.
Yeah, but I mean, super high-end cars that he's building, like million-dollar, multi, you know, that, you know, "Oh, I'm building this for the Riddler. I'm building this for SEMA. I'm building this for," and he goes, "And that's just the good stuff." He goes, "I mean, everything's good." He goes, "But I got some other stuff too, you know, maybe about another 10 builds." And I'm just going, "Oh my God, I mean, building incredible cars."
So you're going to swing by there?
I'm going to swing by there and see what they got going on, see all the metal they're bending, and hang out with those guys a little bit at Cal Auto Creations.
Well, I hope you bring some recording gear with you and sit down with him for a few minutes.
I think I will. I think we're actually going to do some video for another TV show I'm working on, too, and get a little video while I'm back there. So we'll definitely do that.
Yeah, I'd like to see what's going on. I'd like to see what he's got going on, but without me actually going to Omaha.
You know what? Omaha's not that bad, dude. It really isn't. Omaha is one of those cities where everybody makes fun of it. They all, you know, but because Warren Buffett's there, there is a hub of financial people that come from all over the world, and there's all these financial companies there. You've got big insurance companies. all the major airlines and hotels have headquarters there for their reservations. And so like when I was growing up there, it was like, you know, everybody, not everybody, but a lot of the people are transplants. They came from New York, Chicago, Florida, you know, because their dads were executives like mine was, and they got transferred there. And so there's a lot of really cool stuff there, except for the weather.
Except for the weather, right? Is every restaurant on every corner like a Dairy Queen? Isn't that Warren Buffett's? That's his jam,
yeah,
right?
Like, but no, there's lots of restaurants there. Good restaurants.
He has like Dairy Queen and a Coca-Cola every day.
Exactly, and he owns, you know, he owns so much shit. I mean, it's like,
he's a big holder. Like he owns Dairy Queen, I think, or is a big shareholder of Dairy Queen and Coca-Cola.
Right, and he owns all kinds of stuff. But you know what's funny is that everybody who lives in Omaha, they'll always go, yeah, it's Warren Buffett's house. He's, you know, how humble he is because he has lived in the same house his whole life, you know. Yeah. It's a nice house, but it's not like some big mansion. But then, like, what we know is that we go down to Newport, and down in Newport Beach, it's like, you see those four mansions on the cliff? Those are all Warren Buffett's.
Yeah, those are his as well.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, plus he's got, you know, a penthouse in New York. Plus he's got, it's like, yeah, come on. That's like that house in Omaha. I bet you, it's got like a secret bunker.
Oh, there's
that's
a bat
like a
cave.
Luxury. There's a bat.
There's another 80,000 square feet of
right.
bat cave.
The mansion's underground.
Yeah, it's all underground. You know, you think he doesn't have a view, but everything's just like flat screens to mimic the outside world.
I mean,
blows air on you and stuff like a ride at Disneyland.
Microsoft. That's buddies with him. You know.
Yeah. Bill Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates. Remember how he built the whole underground? They were quarrying into the cave, into the side of the mountain and everything. He probably learned that from Warren, who went, yeah, everybody thinks I have this real subtle house. And underneath, come on, it goes down 12 stories into the ground.
He's like, that house you see in Omaha, that's you know, humble 1,200 square feet. That's the foyer.
Exactly.
You know, the other 9,000 square feet's underground.
Or it's like, that's just a hologram that hides the real 50,000 square foot mansion. I bought this company a few years ago, you know, and... I remember when I was growing up, you know, he drove like a 65 Impala and he was a billionaire, you know. It's like now he's probably got an Aventador with a hologram around it that looks like a 65 Impala.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I don't know what he drives. I'm
and if
sure
he does,
know.
I want to find out because I'm going to get a 65 Impala and put a hologram around it that makes it look like an Aventador.
You should get, get the Impala and get the W. Buffett license plate for it. So everyone thinks
awesome,
it's him. Like, see, he still has his Impala. We see it parked here all the time. It's always out in front of the Dairy Queen. I never see him in there, though. There's this other guy.
You just get dark tinted windows. And
yeah.
So anyway, back to Moon Eyes. I mean, it was a great show. Jeez. Here it is, middle of December almost, and it was 85 degrees.
Yeah, 80 plus degrees out. And I'm actually glad we were able to make it out here because everything is on fire.
I know that show was on fire, wasn't it? It was great.
Well, there's nothing out
you
here.
You mean literally.
Yeah. Everything, Ventura County and now down in Lilac County over by Oceanside. And it's terrible.
Well, it sucks. In fact, did you see the photo that David Freiberger put up?
Yeah.
Undeniably a beautiful photo as far as, you know, the way the fire was swirling and everything. But unfortunately, the photo's emphasis was on the cars that were torched, that it was some guy he knew that had been restoring this
But
car
it wasn't that
years.
Guy's car. Like, he was storing the car for somebody else, and the guy couldn't, like, move everything.
Right.
And so there's just sheet metal engulfed in flames. It's terrible.
And that just sucks. Because, I mean, I've lived it. I mean, I live up in the hills and in Orange County, and we've had those fires most recently about a month ago. But a couple of years back, we lost about 20 homes in our neighborhood. And I remember I was calling all my buddies, and I was like going, okay, take the Motion Vega down. It was like, take it all the way down the hill, park it in the Ralph's grocery store parking lot. And we were just parking all my cars in the Ralph's grocery store parking lot, like in the middle of the parking lot, thinking, you know, if everything else goes up, at least the cars will be down there. And, you know, and so it's like calling your buddies to drive the cars down because you got to worry about everything else. And I remember I've never cut so many tree limbs and thrown them away from the house. And it's just nuts, you know, but it happens. And It's been really bad this year. Those poor people, first up Northern California, now down here.
Over by where I live, out in the Santa Monica, Venice area.
Smoky, right?
It was bad. It was very smoky and just ash and dirt all the cars when you come out in the morning, just the streets.
How's it been over at Corolla Studios?
It hasn't been that bad because the wind picked up, and the wind was causing the fires to spread quickly, but then everything started blowing toward the coast. And yesterday in Venice, it was beautiful. There was not a cloud in the sky, and it felt like it was you didn't have that the smell of smoke or anything anymore. The Skirball fire, there's a street called Skirball off of the 405 freeway near the Getty Museum. That area, which is a very high-dollar area, that caught on fire. From what I understand, everybody evacuated safely, but it destroyed some multi-million-dollar homes.
Is that an expensive area up there?
It's a pretty expensive area up there. I noticed that I have some friends around the Santa Monica area and in L.A. that own shops, like just maintenance shops and tuning shops, and they've reached out and said, if you live in those areas and you're evacuating, feel free to bring your cars to our shop. We'll store them for free while that's going on.
Yeah.
So that's great car community thing. These people working out, helping each other out. Our friend, Ray McClellan, your co-host on
Car Warriors
from years ago, and he owns the dyno shop that we go to. He's in Fillmore, and there's a huge fire up by Magic Mountain that's starting to spread down. It's crawling down the freeway and heading toward his shop. He posted some photos of that.
Yeah.
And he said that he could see fires kind of approaching and hasn't crossed the road yet, and he started evacuating and moving stuff out. I texted him like 24 hours ago from when we're recording this now. And he said it was okay. He said the wind has shifted and his place wasn't threatened. But every time I watch the news, I see the dot that says Fillmore and I see the highway that he's on. And I keep looking up his address on my Google Maps. I'm like, that's pretty damn close. I know he's got to be nervous about it.
I mean, they usually don't last this long, and they just kept up, and that's just been so bad. But it's like some of the other things, like up in Ventura where they're having the really, really bad ones.
Yeah.
I was watching the news the very first morning, and it was when they were just starting to get to the houses and stuff, and they were this big, huge house. I mean, this thing was gigantic and beautiful, and they're going, just as we've been standing here, embers have gotten under the things, and all of a sudden it's starting to be fully engulfed, you know?
Yeah.
And they go, let's go around the front of this house. And they go around the front of the house, and the guy had a car collection. And, I mean, rare stuff, like Ferraris and stuff. And they were all parked on the street. And the reporter, who doesn't know a thing, he's going, why would they pull those beautiful cars out and just park them on the street with all these ambers and everything? I'm going, because he got them out of the house that's burning down. You know?
I mean, what are you going to do? You got to understand, like, out here in L.A. and even on the outside of areas, L.A. and Orange County, it's so difficult to find parking for cars. So a lot of people that have more than one car have them stored all over other people's homes, on the streets, you know, even very cool cars. I mean, I don't have anything that good. And I've got a car at Corolla shop, a car at Bodie Stroud shop, a car at GT Technic in Irvine, and a car at my place. And they're like, and I don't even think you know where all your cars are. You've got warehouses all over the place.
It might be up in Fillmore. I'm not sure.
That might be in Fillmore. And now in Arizona, you've got places there, but I know you and Mikey got a place out here.
In Pomona, yeah.
In Pomona, which is still not.
Yeah, but it's a pretty safe area. It's pretty far away from the hills and stuff. But, you know, the thing is that you just never know because, like they were saying, the sparks fly up to 10 and 12 miles. So there might be a fire clear over here, and then the spark flies, gets under somebody, and boom, all of a sudden is, you know.
Some of those really dense, woodsy areas and that they catch fire so easy because it's just fuel. That's all it is. It's just dry of trees and everything. And they said when the wind was at its peak, the fire was spreading a football field a second. It was going so fast, and it was just thousands of acres, just like a freight train of fire. It's like a wall. Like you couldn't outrun that.
The one up by the Getty Museum, there was a real interesting fact And then we can wrap it up about fire. But they were saying that three houses were lost, three or four houses, mm-hmm. but 24 structures. And then the guy on the news said, now let me put this into perspective. Usually when we're in a neighborhood and they say structures, that could be a little lean-to out back or something like that. And he goes, I just got some really interesting information. And he goes, most of the structures were pool houses and guest homes. And they said the average pool house and guest home in this area is 4,500 square feet.
Yeah.
And he goes, they're like most people's house.
No, I get it. Because they just say things like three houses were destroyed. But yeah. In that area, that's $21 million.
Right. There was some million-dollar guest house or a million-dollar pool house, you know.
Like, yeah, and I get it. You know, nuts. They have insurance and it is what it is. But my point of it is regardless of how expensive your house is or where you live in these areas, still parking is a premium. And it's tough to find good garage space or any type of fairly secure parking. And even when you go out and you get with your buddies or you park a car at a shop or you rent some warehouse space, those warehouse spaces are often in areas that get threatened.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, where Corolla Shop is in the Glendale Burbank area, well, the Sun Valley fires are right up the street. That's where Bodie Stroud is.
Exactly.
And if you think about it, like, that dude's house he built in the mountains. So I haven't spoken to him yet, but I thought I saw you posted on a Facebook that things were fine. But he's got to be moving stuff. Like, you just got to...
Well, Harry Hibbler, the former publisher of Hot Rod Magazine, yeah. He lives right in that area. And I got to call him because I was thinking about it the other day. I go, wow, that's Harry's neighborhood. You know, there's so many people we know and, mm-hmm. you know, we're spread out. I mean, California's built in hills and people have built, you know, planted all these trees that aren't native. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, it's bad, you know.
Yeah.
But, hey, I understand that recently you had another press car to drive. But before we get to that, I want to remind everybody, if you've seen on our Instagram or if you've seen on our Facebook page, if you haven't, go there and check it out because, you know what, we're giving away some free stuff. We've teamed up here at Shift and Steer with MyCanic, and MyCanic makes all this cool stuff for your garage, floor jacks, all the stuff you're going to use to detail or service your car, lights, and, you know, what we've got is their kickstand, which is this really nice... All metal. It's not cheap plastic. This thing is all metal. Casters. It's a little stool with some trays to put your tools in, some little tool holders, and drawers that are built right into it so that when you're scooting around working on your car, you can actually, you know, have the right kind of stuff right with you. And they've given us three of these, Matt. Now, these are like $100 a piece retail, and all you've got to do is go to our Instagram page. If you're not an Instagram follower, you can go to Instagram.com/BondSpeedWheels, or excuse me, not, hey, that was a Freudian slip, /ShiftandSteer, and
I think it's ShiftSteer and, Media.
And ShiftSteer Media. Let me start that all over, folks. Okay, so if you're not an Instagram user, which you should be because you would dig it, it's just all photos, but if you're not and you're just on the internet, you can find us at Instagram.com/ShiftSteerMedia.com. And anyways, but go to Instagram, click on the link in our profile. It'll take you to a little thing. All you got to do is, see, people are excited already. You just got to put in your name and your email. That way we can get a hold of you if you're chosen as a winner. Now, if you want to get 10 extra entries in this deal, do you know how to do that, Matt?
No.
I'm going to tell you. All you got to do is do a post. We want to see a picture of your garage, your shop, or your car, and post on Instagram and hashtag it with Shift and Steer Podcast and hashtag MyCanic. So that is Shift and Steer Podcast with a hashtag in front of it, and then hashtag MyCanic. We'll give you 10 extra entries. We're going to do this all through the month of December. The end of December, we're going to announce the winners, and MyCanic's going to ship them those cool little things. It's like getting an extra holiday gift.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing. You can see the pictures of it on the Instagram as well.
Exactly,
so you know exactly
yeah.
what you're winning.
So, anyways, that's cool. And you know what? If I had one of those, which I do, they actually fixed me up with one so we could do some photos, and I use it in the office. I scoot from office to office on it. I have my pens in the drawers, and it's really cool.
I've got to get one. I think you have one, and I think Aaron has one. Aaron's had one for a while. Somehow he's...
I know. Aaron got that early.
But, he's got that early, but...
But no, we'll have to get you styled in with one so that you can use it in over at Corolla Shop.
Yeah. If I bring it there, someone will take
it
home.
Dude, and they make a hella nice all-aluminum floor jack. And there's some of the stuff on it that is so cool that nobody's... You know how you always have your floor jack and you want to take it somewhere?
Yeah.
They built handles into it. So you can pick it up
and carry
it.
Yeah, that part I like.
And also, you can use them as tie-downs so it's not rolling around in the back of your truck. And it has rubber wheels so that if you're like in a driveway... You ever been in a driveway with the metal-wheeled ones? And also, you hit a little stone, it goes, and...
Also, we have floors done, and we don't like every time we drag the jack around, we got to buff out the floors.
We'll have to get Motorator set up with a floor jack and a kickstand. So, hey, if you had that, you could have used it to detail the Honda Ridgeline you drove.
Yeah. So, by the way, if you didn't listen to last week's show, give it a listen. We have a great conversation about the Acura NSX, which is a fantastic supercar, hypercar, sports car.
Supercar, yeah.
It's a fantastic car. We also drove a Honda Ridgeline, which I love. And I know it's funky looking, but I love it. And
it's rigid.
And just now, we've only got it for a few days so far. We have the new Range Rover Velar. But before we get into that, I want to talk for a second about AMSOIL. You know why I like AMSOIL? It's because they're a bunch of car people. They're gearheads. They're into all kinds of power sports, and basically they get it. Recently, AMSOIL created a guide to increasing horsepower in your vehicle. It has insider tips from the best in the business on coaxing more power from your engine. You can get your free copy at AMSOIL.com/shift. You can get a copy of this booklet, this pamphlet. While you're there, you can find out more about AMSOIL synthetic motor oil as well. You can find out how AMSOIL Signature Series synthetic motor oil delivers 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by leading industry standards. Go to AMSOIL.com/shift to get your free insider's guide to increasing horsepower. So again, that's shift and steer. You can go to AMSOIL.com/shift. This place is so weird. We're in this barbecue place and there's this super loud, like, suction machine above the door.
It's one of those, mandated by the state of California to keep the bugs out when you open the door.
Is that what it is? Oh, because it's a restaurant?
That was smooth, just like AMSOIL, man.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, seriously.
By the way, we're happy to have AMSOIL come on board with us, so we do love that. And
everybody, please show the show support by going and doing that. Order one of those booklets so they know you're listening.
It's free. Go down there, download the thing, or subscribe to it. That'd be great for us, and maybe we can... turn this podcast after, what are we on, year three? Maybe we can turn it into a business.
One of these days, we've got the roving studio. But you know what? We make fun of, when we're doing stuff from like a restaurant here. But it's authentic. We're out. We've been to a show. And, everybody that's been walking in look like people that were at the show too. And, it's all fun.
Yeah, they have a Moon Ice bag.
And did you hear them going? They were like, "Hey, those are the guys from Shift and Steer."
Yeah, they probably didn't say that.
No, they did. They did. I could tell.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like where your head's at, but I don't think they said that. So the Honda Ridgeline. I posted some photos of the Ridgeline on my social media. We got a lot of comments on it, which I appreciate. I thought it was a fun thing, and I get it. Is it a truck? Is it not? What does it do?
Well, it is a truck.
Here's the thing. Is it? Who cares? It's in a class of its own. It's like a modern-day El Camino. Like, it's cool. And it has a V6. It has, 280 horsepower. It's got an independent rear suspension with coil springs. Not very truck-like, but the ride is really smooth.
Because it has an independent rear suspension with coil springs.
And... I get it. So you soften the springs up a little bit to make the ride quality good.
What is that? Do you have a load capacity on it?
Yeah. So it tows 5,000 pounds.
Okay.
The all-wheel drive version tows 5,000 pounds. They make a front-wheel drive version. I can't imagine anybody gets it. And it tows maybe 3,500.
Do they make an edition like the Hennessy with two rear axles?
No.
There's not a Hennessy edition Ridgeline?
There's not a Hennessy edition
yet.
Ridgeline.
Yet.
Look, I've been talking to Dave Merrick, and I get this idea in his head. I was like, I will build a SEMA version of that Honda Ridgeline. If Honda helps out, if Honda comes on board, all the hype right now is the Honda Civic Type R.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I will do a Type R version of the Ridgeline. I throw some Air Ride on it because I want it to still be functional. I want to be able to, even with Air Ride, you should arguably be able to tow more, right? Because it's all about the suspension.
Yeah, if you get the right setup,
you know?
Yes.
So I would lower it for its sport mode. I would jack up the airbags when you're towing a trailer. And then I'd reach out to somebody like a Gale Banks and say, let's turbo this thing. Let's add another 100, 120 horsepower. See if we can get up to about 400. Change some sway bars. Put some airbags on it. And, dress it up. Make it look kind of cool. And I know you've done so many of these big SEMA shows in the past. Like, there's probably some cool ideas you do for the interior and things like that. And
I say throw a racing go-kart in the back.
Right. That's what I was saying. I was like, by the way, for the SEMA show, we can throw a couple of Honda motorcycles back there. We can tow a boat with a couple of Honda outboard engines.
A Honda jet. On
we
a trailer behind
jet.
It. Dude.
Yeah. Well, as long as they give me the Honda jet as well.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying,
Yeah. What's a Honda jet? $4.5 million?
Yeah. Well, come on. That's within the SEMA budget.
They're giving those away.
That's probably half their SEMA budget.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I think the Ridgeline has the potential.
Tell them we'll do a promotional video of the Honda jet flying and landing at the Las Vegas airport, the truck pulling up, putting it on the trailer.
Taxiing it off the runway.
Right onto the trailer and onto the SEMA show floor. Be awesome. Be awesome.
So driving it around, I liked it. I drove recently like a Nissan Frontier and a couple of others, these small trucks, and I get it. They haul a little more stuff. They're a little more work truck, but for something like out here, if you're looking like for the city truck, I liked the Honda. I did. I liked the Honda. And completely unrelated, because I drove that 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, and a friend that that I know bought a Chevy Colorado.
Right.
It's their mini truck with the diesel.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a year old, and the fuel system just took a crap.
Really?
Yeah, and that's in the shop, and they got to order parts. And
did he put gas in it?
I don't know what he put in it. I can't explain what happened.
I put gas in this diesel, man, and it's just a problem. I don't understand.
And he's a pretty smart guy, and he's a pretty like detailed guy. I don't think he would do that unless he lent his truck to somebody, like an employee or something.
Hey, I filled it up for you on the way back.
Yeah. They're like, I topped it off for you. It's been running like shit, but I topped it off for you. Yeah, whatever.
Maybe you need a new fuel filter.
I was surprised that he sent me that text. He's like, my Colorado's broken. And I'm not trying to pick on the Colorado because I liked those as well. And I think the Tacoma's.
And the guy idled up in Fillmore for, 2 days. Yeah. But other than that,
But look, the Honda's not an off-road vehicle. I'm sure it has some off-road capability with its all-wheel drive, and they tested it in the dirt, but it's not that.
And I don't want to bust your bubble or anything, but Dave did mention that you said that. And he said, Matt's not getting that truck because usually when we do a SEMA vehicle, we want it done in the same year. And his track record with getting stuff done.
Really? I brought my car to SEMA before I built it, and then I brought it home and rebuilt it. So I'm hoping I get a second SEMA year out of it.
There you go. Yeah, right? Second showing.
Yeah.
Like an encore at a concert,
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But, no, it's like, yes, but now it looks better. It's like you saw Aretha Franklin, and now you saw Aretha Franklin 3 years later and dropped 30 pounds.
There you go.
That's
a strange analogy, but okay, I'm going with it.
Everybody loves Aretha.
Yeah. What's her on a freeway? What's her automotive song? Freeway of Love or something like that?
Hey, I don't know the songs. That was the first name that came into my head. I don't know the songs.
Yeah, you couldn't think of like Taylor. What's her name?
Swift.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
But she's not fat.
You'd date her, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I like a tall girl.
Well, and just for the fact that she's worth gazillions, just think, man, you could be like the kept husband of Taylor Swift.
She could be my sugar mama.
Yeah. You'd be like, hey, did you see the new Aventador that came out? She goes, I already got you one in each color, Maddie.
That's right. But I don't want the stupid stickers. I want the painted on graphics.
That's right. Damn it.
I want the painted on graphics.
How do we get from there, from the Honda Ridgeline to Taylor Swift buying you Aventador?
Yeah. No, I like where this is going. Okay. So shifting gears.
Shifting gears.
I picked up the new They're taking out the trash right now. In the store, they're taking out the trash.
Those are actually, he says that, but it's actually fans are lining up with their autographed sheets and they're crinkling them as, hold on, folks. As soon as we're done, we'll be able to do
autographs. Will you autograph my trash bag? The Range Rover Velar, when we pulled up here at the Moon Eye show, you saw it very briefly.
Yes, it looks like an iPhone on the inside.
It's pretty cool. So it's funny because Land Rover had...
I thought we were talking about the Honda Ridgeline.
Well, we're done.
We're done with the Honda Ridgeline.
No, I said shifting gears.
You're already done with the Honda Ridgeline. That's fine. That's cool. Give me your one overall opinion of it.
I give it a B. I think it's a solid B, and that's a good.
A being the lowest and Z being the highest?
No, this is a grade school. Grade school grade.
So it gets a B, not a B+ or a B-,
but a B. I think it's a B. I think it needs a little customization. I think you can make it kind of fun, but as a city
truck on
the weekends.
That it is very practical and very utilitarian like Honda is known for?
Yes. Now, the independent rear makes the bed sit a little higher.
Right.
Right? So the... you know, the sides of the bed are a little shorter than what you expect, but there's that big storage tub in the back, which I love. The thing is huge.
Cause you can pull it out and fill it with ice, right?
That's the thing is it's got a rubber gasket on it. So it seals up, but then it's got a drain plug on the bottom. Oh, and
so it's a doggy hot tub.
It's basically a doggy hot tub, or I could probably fit in it. I could fit in it as well. And it's got,
more fans just walked in.
Audio in the bed of the truck.
Audio? Well, then it really is a party machine. It sounded more and more like Dave had some big influence in the design of that bed.
Right? It has a giant cooler and audio in the bed. It uses like Radiant speakers.
Okay.
So there's no like powered speakers in the bed.
All right.
And it plays basically through the bed liner.
It's like a bone phone.
Yeah.
It's like an automotive bone phone.
And I hit it. I hit the button on the dash. It starts playing in the back. I'm like, this is the best thing ever. I'm getting ready to load up our podcast, crank it to 11, and drive down the street.
Yeah.
It turns off.
When you're driving?
Above, like, 11 or 7 miles an hour. I was like, so there's got to be some sort of hack.
There's got to be a hack
picture.
To that. Yeah, we got to be able to hack that.
Because I just want to just drive, like...
That sounds so Joe Dirt.
Yeah. Like, I just want to... Just take a like an unassuming Honda Ridgeline down like the 3rd Street Promenade area in Santa Monica. I just crank.
Are you kidding me? I see this like total in my head right now. This video, like when you had it, you totally blew it. You should have said, "Hey Brad, we're going to get the wheels." I mean, God, I totally lost my train of thought. Get the Honda Ridgeline. We're going to go out to the lake and meet up with some girls in like this total 70s theme where, you know, everybody's there and they're on the rope swing and they all got like,
mullets.
Mullets. And, you know, it'd be so cool, man. A little, not Motley Crue, but, you know, maybe some Southern rock playing in the background.
Yeah.
Guy pulls up in a Mustang jacked up with air shocks, and all the girls are like, yeah, that's cool, but not as cool as the Honda Ridgeline.
I'm telling you, a Ridgeline, some flared fenders, some air ride suspension, and a turbo. By the way, the interior is just a Honda. It's like
a
really nice...
Gabriel Hijackers?
You know, leather seats. It has all the safety items, the lane departure... beeping and lights and all this stuff. It's got
one thing I will say, the Honda Ridgeline, the new design is head and shoulders above the old design.
Yeah. The
other it one looks was so weird. Much better. Yeah.
Did Dave design the old one?
I don't know.
I feel like we need to call him out on that.
Yeah. I don't think he did. But
I don't think he did either.
But then you jump up changing gears here. How's that, huh?
Yeah, well it's shifting gears.
Yeah, shifting changing gears. Shifting gears. Anyways. The one that you're driving
the
today,
Range Rover
the
Velar.
Range Rover Velar.
Yeah, so Range Rover and Jaguar Land Rover, the parent company of the whole thing, has had better sales this past year than they've ever had. And the Land Rover brand is selling twice as much as the Jag is. They're doing great, and that's allowing them to come up with more product and better product and some more fun stuff. And they launched their division called SVR, which is... weird because it's special vehicle operations. I don't get what all the letters, how they work, but...
It's a silent R in operations. But I drove that Range Rover SVR for a week.
So that's the Range Rover Sport.
Man. Yeah,
that's
that thing was
550
badass.
Horsepower, awesome sounding exhaust.
Yeah,
it's
great
fast
sound, beautiful interior.
So in the lineup, you have the full-size Range Rover. Then you have the Range Rover Sport. Then you have a Velar. And below that, like an Evoque and a Discovery, or it's maybe it's LR4 now or whatever. But the exterior design of the Velar is fantastic. It's got these pop-out door handles that kind of like a Tesla, the way they kind of slide out. When they're in, they look a little Aston Martin-y.
Yeah, they do.
Which is pretty sleek. You'll notice on a lot of their cars that they're doing now, they're doing a black trim. So we have a gray one with all the black trim instead of chrome trim. It really makes a difference. It makes it look sleek. It gives it a tough look to it.
It's a good size, too.
It is. It's only a little smaller than a Range Rover Sport, but when you open it up, it actually has a lot of room.
And when I look down, 22-inch wheels from the factory.
Yeah, 22.
Now, I don't know if that's an option or not, but...
Yeah, well, the one I have is a launch edition one, so it has all of the options,
right.
So I don't really know what it is. I'm going to assume the 22 is an upscaled option,
But they fit it perfect.
It does look good. It's a sharp-looking thing. They start at about 50 grand, and the fully loaded launch edition that I have is 89. So it's a pretty widespread, but... There's a four-cylinder gas engine, a four-cylinder diesel engine, and a supercharged V6 with 380 horsepower.
And we're giving three away in December. Oh, wait, that's the mechanic.
Yeah,
not the...
No.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Good. I'd like to see a little more power. Like, I'd like to see an eight-cylinder or something in it, or even a hotter V6, you know?
And Amsoil's giving away three in December, right? No.
We got to work our way up to that. I think
that's next season.
But the interior is cool. There's three screens, basically. There's the gauges, which is all now just a TFT screen. So you can configure it. Like, if you don't even want gauges at all, right in front of you, you can wipe out all the gauges and just do, like, full-on map navigation or something if you want. And then there's, like, a 10-inch wide screen on the dash, and then lower in the column is another one. And you can basically take those three... the gauges, the dash, and the console, and you can kind of configure the three any way you want.
To play an app that will play Fremont Street Experience?
That's it. That's exactly it. So, you know, you could put the audio controls up high and down the screen below.
And it really does. When I say influence from, like iPhone or something, it's that smartphone, the rimless glass. Even the rearview mirror is rimless glass. It's all really trick looking.
It's pretty sharp, and the graphics package on the lower screen is pretty cool. You can hit the vehicle settings, and you can pick, like, mud and snow or sand or off-road or sport or dynamic mode, and it changes, like, the whole background image and the picture of the Range Rover, and it's pretty sharp.
You know, something very seriously, that with all the electronics going on in these cars, and this one probably more than anything, because of how it was laid out in a very low-slung area and stuff, how are these cars going to react if somebody spills their big gulp? I mean, I've never thought about it till just now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it like spilling it on your laptop? You know, I mean, is it going to be like, you know, oh, crap, pack the interior with rice, you know? I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I wonder how waterproof they are. That'd be a great question for somebody from Range Rover.
How waterproof is the interior?
Yeah, you know what? You still have this truck. Maybe we should do the big gulp test.
I
you think that would be frowned upon?
I think it would be frowned upon. I think we wouldn't get many press vehicles again. I went back. We loaded up the Range Rover, and I picked up a friend of mine, Allie. We went back to the LA Auto Show. It was the last night of the LA Auto Show. We went back there last night and drove the Range Rover around downtown. And she works for Lexus and does a bunch of hosting and stuff for Lexus and does like the dealer demos and teaches all kinds of stuff. So she went and got the preview of the new top of the line LS, the big giant four door.
Yeah.
You know, it's their 7 Series BMW, their S class Mercedes.
Long wheelbase, you know, the whole deal.
And I know we're kind of running out of time with this, but driving around the Range Rover, it's got massaging seats and seat coolers and all the stuff in it. And I was putting that feature on. I was like, oh, you got a massage thing. And she was saying, she's like, you know, when these seat massagers came out, the car companies were concerned with people going, oh, well, you're going to relax and fall asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they started calling them anti-fatigue features, right?
It's not massage. It's to stimulate you.
It's anti-fatigue, right? Well, Lexus is like, we're not going with that anti-fatigue bullshit anymore. She said on the new LS, and it's not out yet. I haven't seen it. I'm going to ask for a press release. She said, there's like a full-on shiatsu massage in the seats, and Lexus hired like the greatest masseuse woman ever and like her team, and they designed the massage for the seat, and it's like it's full on. She's like, it's like a deep tissue.
We've got to get one of those, and then we'll do a promotional video for Shift and Stir where we're living in the car. Yeah, and it's like living in your car isn't what it used to be. I'm getting my massage right
now. I'm telling you.
Matt's in the back with the cooler, and he's getting.
I'm just gonna play like ocean sounds and put a candle on the dash. She said, and in the big LS, it's four seats, front, rear.
Right.
Everybody can massage. And I said, well, this is great. So next time we do like the road trip to Monterey, like if it's like Adam and I are usually in the front, and like my producer Chris is in the back. I'm gonna do the road trip, and then when we finally get back, I'm gonna go, oh, by the way, there's. Seat massagers in the back. He's going to be like, I've been in the car for 22 hours. You're telling me these weren't on here? I was like, oh, my bad.
Either that or you go down to, like, Santa Monica, the City Walk area down there, and you put up one of those signs, you know, personal massage.
That's
and
right.
You have the little chair sitting there with the car right behind it. And they go, oh, yeah, I'd like one. You go, step in, have a seat.
That works if you get a press car because... You know, like if your lease was $1,500 a month on your car, you're making, you know, $90 a weekend. I don't think it's gonna work out. But
cool. We'll post some photos of both these cars on the pages. And hey, we've got a little bonus for you guys. While we were at SEMA, Double A-Ron, Aaron Hagar, he went over to the Meguiar's booth, sat down with the guys, got a little bit of the lowdown on what's going on over there. So, you know, enjoy this. It's a quick little bonus segment from our man Aaron. But when we come back, you will get to hear where you can find us online like always.
Aaron Hagar, Shift and Steer, SEMA Day 2, and we are at Meguiar's covering for Brad. And we are with Mike Pennington.
Hey, what's taking? How are you?
Good. How are you? Sorry, my
man. You caught me off guard there for a second.
Yeah, everybody. We're all off guard here today. No, we're improvising. That's what we do. At least that's my part of the deal.
I love it. I can do that with the best of them.
I laugh and I improv. I'm usually the comic relief, so now I have to be serious and all
there you
this.
Go. Okay, but, okay. We can do that too.
So I'm a big fan of you guys, and I don't have a lot of shiny stuff, so I'm always looking for, like, the other products that, you know, like I see a matte helmet out there. But I see a lot of new labels that I don't recognize, so...
I
want to know what's going on.
Oh, that's fantastic. SEMA is always fun. Yes, we launch new products throughout the year, but we also launch new products at SEMA every year. So it's interesting. We got a lot of brands happening, like our Mirabrite, for example. It's interesting. We launched that a couple years ago, and we're continuing to carry on that tradition because Mirabrite is all about tradition recrafted.
Right.
And we've been around for so long, it's kind of neat. You look at the shape of the bottles, it's how they were back when they were the glass bottles in the 30s and the 40s.
I was going to say, it's very Art Deco. It's very cool.
And even look at the label,
yeah.
It's very similar to what we had in those days.
It's got some holographic stuff
it
to it.
It is.
Very nice, kind of tradition recrafted. Yeah. See, I'm an artist.
There you go. You
I'm
pick
digging
up on
the
that.
Packaging.
Well, even if you look at the cars on display, we've got.
Yes.
The black car and the Gunther Works Porsche.
Porsche, yeah.
That almost falls right into that tradition recrafted.
Yeah, I think so too.
So a couple
you're
of
onto something.
I think we may be. Hence the word. And Mirabrite was what we started with. That was our original name in 1901.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't know. And a lot of people, certainly we changed some of Meguiar's, but Mirabrite was our original name back early in the day. And it was Barry's grandfather that started the company in 1901. You know,
he's such
so
a cool
fun
character.
Stuff. He is.
I love that family.
He is. You know, he works. I think just as hard, if not harder, today
than he did.
You know, in his heyday of building and driving this company. But He does it with a smile on his face.
It's nice to see people of passion. Yeah. My family's entertainment.
Of course,
and,
right.
And we are a family of passion. And so we like other families with passion.
Yeah, there you
especially
go.
Especially when Grandpa's still passionate. You know?
It's bad. Well, I've been here 28 and a half years, and I don't think I traded for the world because of that passion word you said. And I'm being 100% sincere.
I agree.
Love what we do. I love what I do. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I love our friends.
It is.
See, folks, this is what happens. I mean, not to get off tangent here, but it's like this is a community, and we love our community. And when we get to showcase people and showcase things that we use and enjoy, this isn't just stuff that, hey, come and buy this or pay this to advertise that. These are our friends, folks. This is the community we serve. And I always like to say that. It's a community we serve. So,
great choice of words.
You know?
It is.
So tell us more.
Well, so...
so I can distract you again.
probably the one product I think I do want to highlight is, it's interesting, think of all the different wheels on cool cars out there.
Oh,
from,
yeah.
You know, whether it's a rat rod, whether...
That was Brad, you just interrupted the show.
Hi, Brad.
Sorry, going back to the wheels on a rat rod.
Absolutely.
Which are vintage...
There you
and
go.
They're kind of semi-gloss because they're enamel, right?
It's on, and that's one thing people don't know what to put on them.
Yeah.
So if you grab the wrong cleaner, you can actually damage some of these original, vintage, or modern, very expensive wheels, depending on what you're rolling on.
Absolutely.
So if you look at the Mirror Bright, there is a wheel cleaner there that is actually Mirror Bright wheel cleaner that is safe on everything, designed not to damage. And then we just launched an ultimate all-wheel cleaner that really takes... The Mirror Bright's kind of the genesis of the product. What we did was make it a little bit stronger and start pushing that envelope for the dailies, the people that are doing their wheels on a regular basis, that are getting more and more, and they're driving them even more and getting more brake dust.
Yeah.
They need a little bit more cleaning power. So this product, technology of safe on everything, even can think about the brakes behind the wheel. You know, you've got, let's say...
Because when you're spraying, you spray straight through the wheel onto the brakes.
Right onto that.
And you always have the inner side of the wheel
there
that you got to clean
go.
Up. And, oh, yeah, it's
crazy.
It's a mess.
So we kind of take that frustration of which one do I buy? Do I got this kind? Do I got that kind?
Well, it's
kind?
True, because if people have a clear-coated wheel, if they have aluminum wheel, if it's polished and not clear-coated, they have a powder-coat wheel. I mean, there's all these different wheels.
And if you grab the wrong one?
Or if it's a painted plastic wheel.
Bingo.
You know,
Is it a chrome wheel or is it a PVD?
Exactly,
You know,
there's
it looks
a lot
like
of things
chrome.
To know.
Yeah.
So learn about that first so you can get the new product. Just buy the all-wheel
There you go. There you go.
Which I have on the shelf. Thank you very much.
There you go. And then we've got, some larger sizes. Did you know we started in the professional business? That's where we're known for.
Yeah, actually, I do remember that.
Yeah.
One of my buddies was a detailer
when I was
a kid. Yeah.
We were not even retail until 73, we're launching. We got three new items for the pro business, a new cleaner wax, a new great wash and wax, a new low foaming. I know this sounds odd, but a low foaming all-purpose cleaner. And why that's important is for those pro guys that are going through extractors, you got to have a low foam. It's a very specialized tool for an extractor.
Interesting.
So we kind of cover that gamut from DIY all the way down to a professional, possibly. And we got just everything you can imagine.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And one thing I don't understand is all these posts I see on Instagram of all these tuners, and they just take pictures of their car covered in foam.
The foam cannon is there. So
so we have a high foam product for you tuners out there. Yeah.
Well, we kind of scratch our head and go, well, it kind of looks cool, but we're not quite sure who's got more foam out there. You know?
I don't know. Yeah, it makes the body lines a little voluptuous.
That is definitely it's like a big glazed donut almost, isn't it? Or powdered donut, I guess you could say.
Oh, these millennials.
Those are great.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in trouble over that.
Yeah. Anybody listening?
Now you guys gave me some of this paste wax before, because on my rat rods, because often they have an original paint that's already patinaed, I don't do a sand and clear. I usually floor wax. So you guys gave me some of your paste wax, which I actually liquefy with heat, and then I lay it on the car. So like when we came here at SEMA a couple years ago, it just sat out in the sun. And it warmed up, and then I just kind of buffed it out a little bit, and it gave me a little over eggshell. So by day two, it was back to eggshell, and it was just perfect because it's tidy, yet. It's not dusty, yet it's got a finish to it. So I love this paste wax.
And it's interesting you say that because we get asked the question a lot on whether it's patina or even some of these matte finishes.
Yeah, the matte finishes are tough.
Yes, or even some of the matte vinyls that they're wrapping with. And you got to be aware of what you're working on, because if you do, you've nailed the process perfect, what you did. But if you choose or use the wrong product or process, you can really sometimes damage these finishes, especially a matte finish.
Yeah, and I know the vinyls are interesting because I haven't done a vinyl wrap, but I see tons of them, and it's a nice alternative to a $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 paint job, especially if you're doing some Star Wars theme, which I've seen some very cool themes. So what do you use on the vinyls? Because you treat it like paint, right?
If it's a glossy...
True, there's different kinds.
That's right.
Some have a
coating on them, actually.
Coating on them. It's
a clear layer. Like a UV urethane coating. You can treat those like paint, but on those matte finishes...
Yeah.
You really need to stay away from all the abrasives.
Or anything chemical-based, I would
think. That is correct.
Because it could activate the
That
inks.
Is correct.
Okay.
That is
okay.
correct. So, your quick detailers, your ultimate quick detailers, even some of your spray waxes, like our ultimate quick wax, 100% safe on a matte vinyl. It doesn't offer gloss, which you don't want.
Yeah.
But it gives you some polymer protection against that sun. You can wash your matte vinyl, but that starts to bring in the whole scenario of make sure your wash mitts, make sure your towels, your two-bucket method.
What falls on the ground stays on
the
ground. Do not pick it up and put it on your car.
The last thing you want to do, even on glossy paint,
especially that pretty black one out front.
Yes. So quality of fun stuff is good there. Don't scratch them. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
You scratch them, you got to rewrap or, unfortunately, repaint.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I want to be educated more on glass.
Okay.
Because I live in Tahoe, and for one point in time, we used to use those anti-foggers on
yep,
the inside
yep,
of the glass.
Sure.
And it's destroyed some of these cars. And some of these cars I have, like the Pinsgauer, unfortunately. I know, I said it again. Another show, I said Pinsgauer. The inside gets all fogged up because, unfortunately, there is some the engine's internal. It's like a cab over style. So the engine's kind of between the passenger and I. And so I get some of that emission inside the car, and it makes the windows very waxy. And I can never, I've tried gasoline, and I still can't get this stuff up. I tried acetone, and it just seems to smear it around. So I'm always curious on, how to protect inside and out, because especially in new cars, they're still outgassing from all the vinyls and polyethylenes and all the stuff that they're using.
Yep.
So you get that fog inside the car.
Yep.
So.
Well, first, there's no way to stop that, but will slow that down. But really the key... to normal outgassing, let's say on a new vehicle, is going to be really the towel. And I know as simple as that sounds, toweling is vital in technique to cleaning an interior or exterior window is vital too.
Because your towel is your grabber.
That is correct. So first and foremost, we'll tell people, get yourself a set of dedicated towels that are just for a window. Because we hear back streak. How do you get rid of streaks?
You used it on your tires last, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's loaded up with spray wax and you wipe it in your window and
guilty.
The next thing you
guilty.
Know. Yeah, I think we all are to some extent,
So blue towels are for tires.
Bingo.
Red towels
and white towels are for paint.
Yes.
Clean them, good quality towels, and use enough liquid.
Yeah.
People don't
tend
to spray enough glass cleaner, they're afraid.
Yep. Just like a human body, hydrate. But spray it on the towel, correct? Because if you spray on the inside of the glass, it falls on the dash.
It's something to think about. It depends on the shape, style, or where you're spraying. So,
Can we switch shirts?
I was just going to say, you know everything.
I've got all these questions.
We're going to hire you.
I've got all these questions.
We're going to hire you. It's fantastic, But you nailed it.
All right.
Towel, window, leather dash, vinyl dash. Be cautious.
So a lot of these cars, like I have a newer Mini Cooper, and it supposedly has leather interior. But I gotta say, there's so much coating and fireproofing on leather on some of these, not so high end cars. It's kind of hard to tell what's leather and what's vinyl.
Well,
is there something universal?
The good thing is, if you're just cleaning it on a daily basis, there are some good products for that, like our Quick Interior Detailer, safe on both. But when it gets into conditioning or protecting, you want the golden rule is look to determine what you have. Even though a lot of the modern leathers are coated, they still have micro pores, micro cracking, where that moisturizer can soak down into. If you're working on leather, get leather. If you're working on vinyl, but the good news is, if you're not sure, leather will also work on vinyl, but you don't want to use vinyl products on the leather surfaces.
And that's the thing. So I often test it with a warm towel, because leather will still absorb a little bit too, and the vinyl doesn't.
It depends on the type of leather. A lot of your new ones that are coated will still repair versus like a King Ranch Ford truck. That will soak it right in.
And, you know, Dad has a LaFerrari.
Yep.
And he got that beautiful Avorio interior, but it's all Alcantara.
Yes.
And he likes to wear black stuff.
It's a hard car to get into.
And you kind of have to drop into it, and then you got to kind of scour, climb out of it. And I noticed that there's a lot of discoloration starting on the heel and on the pillars of the seat, too. So I know that may be an off air discussion, but that's a big challenge.
It is. Alcantara and all suede is very difficult to manage. So we're going to recommend almost seek out, go to an interior shop, talk to them, determine, and find out. There's some really good Alcantara and suede brushes.
Yes. It's about brushing.
There you go. Yeah. And that's what's going to begin some of that transfer. But it's very delicate. Very much like it's called aniline leather. That's like what's on the King Ranch.
Interesting.
Not coated.
Yeah.
It's called aniline leather, and it will soak in. So just be cautious and know what you're working on and choose the right product.
Yeah. For those of you with more high-end specialty cars, you know, make sure you talk to the manufacturer and see if there's a Meguiar's product out there that you guys can work with. But yeah, because some of these finishes are really tricky. I mean, like my Mini Cooper, like I said, gasoline on the windows. No, don't do that. No, really, don't do that. Now, I did get a suede car before, and the guy said that he used to actually clean the outside with gasoline. And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like,
and he was serious?
He was serious.
Oh my.
So I must have washed this car in 20 different ways before I figured out that you use the wash, and same thing. You lube it up really good, be generous, it's worth it. Use a clean towel, wipe it all down all at once, quickly, and honestly, this is the only car I've ever had that I'm supposed to wash it in the sun. Because it air dries. I have to leave it, and it has to dry quickly. If it dries slowly, then all the crystallization from the water will pool around you.
Interesting.
And it'll be a leopard. Yeah. But, you know, if you want it to stay a panther.
There you go. Right.
Which panthers are also leopard, I'm told. Yeah. They're spots in there somewhere. If you shave their hair, they're actually
you'll see them. You'll see
skin.
Them.
Yeah. But so I have to wash it and then let it air dry. I can't towel it. But so know your car, folks. Know your car. But Meguiar's can definitely help you. They have amazing products. We know the family. We love the family. And we stand behind it, even us rat rotters. Yeah. I hate using that term. You know, it's gotten so ugly. So let's just call it art cars.
There you go. Art cars. Right? I love that.
Anything else you want to add to it?
I think if you just reach out to us, if you got any questions, if you're not sure, don't take that chance.
Give you a call
or reach out. The back of every one of our bottles, you'll find our number. And let us make sure you got the right, and it's 800-347-5700.
Good, because I'm not wearing my glasses. So. I see a number there, but unfortunately, to me, it's illegible. So, what? And there's a website.
Meguiar's.com. All kinds of great videos and fun, and again, just helping you get the best results, because you're going to spend some time. We know you get out of car care what you put into it, because car care should be fun.
Right.
We like to say car care should be your therapy, not the reason you need therapy.
Yep.
So don't complicate it.
That's a good thing. And another point, too, when you're buying a used car, wash it first.
Yes.
Massage that car. Feel it with your hands, because you'll know whether or not you should really buy it. Thank you very much.
All righty.
Awesome.
Nice talking with you.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to Shift and Steer, and anybody that made it out to the Moon Eye show. Hopefully you guys had a good time. I'm sure that show is going to come back at some point, so we'll keep you posted on that when it does. In the meantime, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you guys giving us a nice rating on iTunes. That always helps. And, you know, tell a friend. You can check us out on all of our social media at Shift Steer Media. We're on Facebook.com, Shift Steer Media, Twitter, and Instagram as well.
Hey, and remember, support our sponsors. They support us. And go to Instagram, check out that Mycanic promotion. Win something, man. We're giving it away. I'm Brad Fanshaw.
And Matt DeAndrea.
Hey, we'll be back next time. It's Shift and Steer.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.